Have you ever wondered how those tabloid newspapers get their stories? Today on Monster Talk, we'll go behind the scenes with an insider to find out all about the Weekly World News and its most iconic recurring character, the monster child known as Bat Boy.
It's actually quite unlike anything we've ever seen before.
A giant, hairy creature, part ape, part man.
In Loch Ness, a 24-mile-long bottomless lake in the highlands of Scotland, it's a creature known as the Loch Ness Monster.
Monster Talk.
Supermarket tabloids. I remember growing up, I always thought the Inquirer was, like the National Enquirer was a...
Skeptical Inquirer.
No, not the Skeptical Inquirer. The Unskeptical Inquirer. Because inquiring minds want to know. I always thought the National Enquirer was a...
This is the one Ben works for, right? The National Enquirer.
I believe so. Is that right, yeah. Ben?
Well, actually, that was, as I understand it, that was one of the reasons that they named it the Skeptical Inquirer, was a little bit of a parody on the National Enquirer. So there's a link there, as I understand it.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
History, yeah.
Wow. Nice history. Bam. Anyway, the National Enquirer always seemed a rather seedy or an unreputable paper. When I was younger, when I was a kid, like preteen, at some point it switched over to being, it seems like, I'm not going to say it's reputable, but more like People. And it used to run Bigfoot and UFO stories, if I remember correctly. And now it runs, you know, different celebrity news. But that gap, of paranormal stories was filled in by a newspaper called the Weekly World News. And another one called The Sun, which is color. But the Weekly World News was black and white. And today we're going to be talking to someone who actually worked at the Weekly World News. So that'll be interesting.
I don't think we had that in Australia. I remember the National Enquirer. I remember just being in the shopping, like supermarket queue, and seeing an article about a man phones his wife from the grave or something, or woman raped by gorilla, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which you don't even really believe as a kid.
Well, now, is there some reason to assume that he is who he claims to be? I mean, this is the Weekly World News, after all. Have you checked his bona fides on this?
Yeah.
He could be Bat Boy himself.
He could be. It looks like Bat Boy was probably written by a stable of writers. But we'll get the answers to those questions in the interview. I met this guy at DragonCon while I was manning the Skeptic magazine table. He's a comic artist, among other things, but he used to work for the Weekly World News. And so we started talking, and he agreed to come on and answer some important questions about Bat Boy. So I don't want to spoil it. If you've never seen Bat Boy, though, we'll include a picture in the show notes. But Bat Boy was a...
That much I've seen.
Yeah, he's an interesting Photoshop-type creation. I'm not actually sure how he was created, because this might have predated Photoshop to some extent.
In the government laboratory.
Oh, well, let's see. He was, it might have been in the late 90s he first appeared. I'll have to look.
I was saying online that he was born 1990, so he's more teenager than boy.
Well, so he was a boy to begin with. So he must have been in the late 90s.
About teen now.
Yeah, so he's a teen now. That's funny. He's ready to go and fight in the Gulf War.
But not drink beer.
But, you know, as a skeptic, you know, let me just back it up. Regardless of that, at one point, I realized that this magazine was not serious. and I don't mean that it wasn't true. I mean, it literally wasn't serious. It was.
So it was just like last year or something.
No, it was this morning. And I feel devastated for it to take this long. No, I just thought it was interesting because I don't know what percentage of the readership was in on the joke. You know, I mean, how many people took the Weekly World News seriously. I assume a small number took them seriously, but I got to assume most of the people read it as humorous, you know.
Well, my guess is that one of the things that they seem to do pretty effectively is mix in the bullshit with the real, and that's obviously one of the ways you get people to wonder about it is you put in grains of truth into it, and then it helps to have people believe the lies.
Chunky bits of truth make the whole stew seem true.
Oh, that's a beautiful quote. Yeah.
Your soup of lies has got a beef base of truth in it. No, I was going to say, at some point they gave up. I mean, at some point they seem to have really stopped trying to make it seem convincing at all. Because the pictures of aliens shaking hands with Bill Clinton and
seems true to me.
That was Hillary. No. Now, they had a lot of Clinton Photoshop-type pictures with this alien who was apparently involved in the government. And it almost seemed like it was one alien, you know, not like lots of aliens, just like there's just one alien who was doing everything. So,
well, Stan Romanek and Jeff Peckman would believe that.
It did seem at least up to their impressive standards. For our listeners who don't know who that is, that's the people they're in Colorado, right, who are they're trying to
get. Yes.
Well, they did the famous or infamous video of the peeping Tom alien, and then they're trying to get legislation passed in Colorado so that they can have an official government position involved with greeting aliens.
ET, yeah. Commission.
So,
yes, yeah, and studying them.
Yeah, and who doesn't want to get, right?
Sort of like what?
That seems like a shovel-ready project, as they would say. I'm not sure what they'd be shoveling, but it seems shovel-ready.
Well, you think you know.
So, Ben, what's your take on supermarket tabloids?
Pretty much like anyone else's, except that one of the things that's interesting about it is that you do have an evolving mythology about these creatures, whether it's lake monsters or Champ or Bigfoot or what have you. And so in some ways, the information that you see in these tabloids is not that much different than you're going to see on websites about reports of monsters and stuff. There's some slight differences, but ultimately a story is a story. So the other element to it is that when I was looking into the origin of the Chupacabra in Puerto Rico in 1995, the supermarket tabloids actually played a very significant role in creating and putting out the Chupacabra stories and descriptions and things like that. So there was definitely a tabloid element of sensationalism that helped promote the Chupacabra into the worldwide stage.
With the Weekly World News in particular, I keep thinking that since at one point they started publishing a little disclaimer at the front saying that this is for entertainment purposes only, I wonder if it's not more like The Onion, or maybe like a precursor to The Onion, just not quite as funny. I mean, there was some very funny stuff in it if you actually opened up, got past the cover. They had some psychic who would give advice to people, and the advice was just ridiculous. It was really, I mean, really amusingly ridiculous. And they had a guy named Ed Anger who was kind of like a right-wing pundit, but to the point that it was just over the top crazy and amusing, not like crazy racist or crazy fascist, just amusing to it was funny. It was a very funny there was some really funny stuff in there. So
it was like the Blair Witch Project to begin with.
This is my recollections, but it seemed like the magazine tried to be somewhat realistic, and it seemed like they were running stories, and all the stories seemed to take place overseas. It was the Weekly World News. And you wouldn't necessarily bother to check the facts on a story that was in, you know, Sri Lanka, Colombia, you know, places that for you it might not be easy to get to. And I shouldn't say Colombia because we probably have listeners in Colombia. just more remote places than the average American reader would see.
But these are still the kinds of stories that you see in American media today. You'll get sort of secondhand stories, and they're translated from other languages, and there's no evidence to support the
stories. Oh, yeah, and they still run these kind of stories. legitimately as fact in other magazines. As far as I know, the National Enquirer still does these little bits, like, you know, from around the world. You know, a girl, you know, survives a fall from 20,000 feet or something ridiculous, you know, and then you go and you read the story and say, well, maybe she did, maybe she didn't, or someone lived on the outside of an airplane all the way from one city to another. Maybe that really happened, maybe it didn't. It's hard to check the facts.
Yeah, like there was that story of that woman in Croatia, or a teenage girl, she was 13, and
I remember that story.
She awoke from a coma and couldn't speak Croatian any longer. She could only speak German, and so it was in a glossier, and she'd only just begun learning that in school. Wasn't fluent until that point.
So, and exactly, but the way the story was written, it seemed more like she had miraculously learned to speak a new language.
Exactly, yeah. She just woke up and was suddenly fluent in another language that she'd never had exposure to.
You can't keep credulity out of the market as a selling point. I mean, people certainly use credulity or lack of critical thinking in everything. I mean, you know, how many commercials, you know, if you think through, there's a huge logical fallacy in the commercial, but they're selling the product with it.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, pretty standard in journalism in general, is there's the tendency to sensationalize anything, whether it's CNN or ABC News or Fox. You know, people, editors know that people want to read attention-grabbing headlines, and so even if it sort of stretches the truth a little bit, or if it's not quite true, you know, as long as they can sort of qualify it in the story itself, they're happy to do that.
I find myself not shaking my fist at the Weekly World News. I'm amused by it. It's gone. It's out of business now, but it amused me. I used to have friends send articles to me that they'd cut out that they thought were funny, and it was just a funny magazine.
Monster Dog.
So today we're going to interview writer and webcomic author Ty Bordoni. Ty's the creator of the online comic The Lighter Side of Sci-Fi, and has had his comics published in Cracked Magazine, Sci-Fi Magazine, and Star Trek Magazine. And before all that, he worked at one of the most astonishing media outlets in American history, the Weekly World News.
I never heard it put quite that way, but I would agree with that.
So for our listeners who might not know, what was the Weekly World News and how did you get involved with it?
The Weekly World News, it's a shame that it's gone. Although I think they still have a bit of an online presence, and I want to say perhaps it's The Sun that still carries some Weekly World News magazines, which was one of its sister magazines. But the Weekly World News was the place where individuals who were interested in, you know, the paranormal and just kind of wacky off the cuff stories that you couldn't get in mainstream media. It was a black and white, and it was one of the tabloids. It was part of America Media. And so, you know, they report on everything from Bigfoot sightings to the Loch Ness, aliens, all kinds of things. That's just scratching the surface. But they were around for quite some time, and it was, I think, very well known for the home of Bat Boy as well.
So in the later years of the Weekly World News, the magazine explicitly admitted that it was an entertainment publication. Do you think mm-hmm. that the readers actually got this?
I think some did and some didn't. And the reason I say that is because my favorite pastimes, if you will, at the Weekly World News was sitting at the receptionist's desk and answering phones.
That must have been interesting.
I would love doing it. It was very interesting because of the kinds of calls that would come in. And I handled them very professionally, and I took the calls as real as I possibly could. And when I'd listened intently, and I handled every single one with the utmost professionalism that I absolutely could. But I heard some whoppers, I got to tell you. But by the same token, I also, you know, met through the phone, spoke with individuals who absolutely believed every single word of the Weekly World News. And, you know, I would tell you, on any given week, maybe 30 to 40% or so of the stories were true, and the rest were entertainment. And some folks knew this inherently and just loved the Weekly World News or enjoyed reading it from time to time, and some didn't. I can think of one thing in particular that comes to mind, and this was about a story that was entertainment, and it had to do with a preacher who could heal you by, forgive me if this offends anyone, by urinating on that affected portion of your body.
I think I've heard of that person.
I think I saw a video.
I probably did. But in any regard, I got quite a few calls of individuals trying to get in contact with this preacher. And this is where it turned a little tough for me, because it wasn't your ordinary. They weren't that week or the weekend, the kind of 2 weeks, I believe, you know, as I recall, were a little tough, not just for me, because I only did it, you know, I used to eat my lunch at her desk. It was just a pastime of mine. But she was the one who caught the brunt of it. And for those few weeks or whenever she got a tough one, she'd give it to me. But these were folks with terminal illnesses, a couple of them, calling to contact this individual. Now, that's where it got tough, because my heart went out to them. But I was not allowed to say that particular story was entertainment.
Right, because when you're so sick that having someone pee on you is your last hope, you're in trouble. Yeah.
True, but also imagine they had nowhere else to turn, and I can remember one lady crying over the phone, and my gosh, you know, yes, it's entertainment, but when it gets to that, when that happens, you're at a loss. And I'm a real sensitive guy, you know.
Yeah.
I'm creative, but I'm also, you know, that was probably the hardest thing. So, to get back to the original question, a lot of folks knew that it was entertainment, and a lot of folks they didn't, you know. And I guess that's what the appeal was. I think during the '80s, when Dick Culpa, he was the managing editor for a long, long time. And he was also the publisher of Cracked Magazine. That's how I became involved with Weekly World News. When the Weekly World News was at its height of popularity, I mean, I think they were close to 1 million copies a week. And that's a lot. So I'm sure a lot of them were enjoying our stories, but I'm sure a lot of them were believing it, because by the same token, there were stories in there that were as true as we could uncover them. So, you know, where do you turn to when you want to read about the paranormal or UFOs, for instance? Some of our, I mean, I uncovered a few leads that when I talk to the individuals, and I'm a skeptical guy, but when I talk to the individuals, you know what, I believed them. I believed at the very least that they believed in the story. And those were dealing specifically, what I'm thinking about now is were UFOs. As a matter of fact, specifically, this one story that I'm thinking about, this gentleman claimed to have been abducted by aliens at a very young age, and they imbued him with the ability to understand computer language. And the man never graduated high school, but he was a very high-paid, well-established computer programmer. And to listen to the man, and he sounded like he knew what he was talking about, he would talk what seemed to me just off the cuff in ways that the established, you know, UFO kind of speech of grays and what have you goes. So sounded like he knew what he was talking about. So in that case, I would say that that's based on a true-ish story, you know, at least according to him. So I don't know if I digressed a little bit there.
No. In fact, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, you said that, you know, there was at least a little, some measure of investigative journalism. Mm-hmm. Did you consider yourselves to be investigative journalists? Did you all do any of that, or what extent was there any investigation?
That's a great question. Let me go back to this story that I was just telling you about, because I think it's a perfect example. It just so happens that while I'm sitting there, this man's wife called. She called about herself. Apparently, she had, gosh, I want to try and get it right, but she had died 20-some-odd times. And the doctors had given her X amount of time to live, and she had far surpassed it. and had been brought back to life many, 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 many times. I thought it was quite interesting. In the context, and we subsequently wrote a story about her, as I recall, in the context of talking to her, her husband's experience came up. Now, the first thing I thought was, oh, okay, come on, how can... It sounds a little suspect. But the more I listened, the more... I do have an open mind. And as everybody at the Weekly World News, you would have to say, had a very open mind. And so I found that story intriguing. Dick Culpa was there at the time. I told him about it. He thought it was a great story. He said, let's run with it. So one of my jobs at the Weekly World News was coming up with leads. And so I would come up with leads in a few different ways. One of them was every day somebody would walk by each of the different desks, and it was the Inquirer, the Sun, the Weekly World News, and there's two others, that the Star, and then there's the Star had, this was before the Star moved to New York. And so what you would do was you would flip through just looking for any story that grabbed your attention from 20 some odd different papers from around the world. So that was one way that we would get really wacky stories. The other was, one of the others was phone calls. Folks would call in all the time. And they would, you know, I've talked to people who were illegitimate children of Elvis. I've talked to many alien abductees. I've spoken to lovers of Bigfoot. You know, and when I say lovers, I mean folks who have had intimate relations with Bigfoot. So that was one of the ways we also got stories. So in this particular case, I thought it was a great story, and I believed that he at least believed the story. And so it got approved. And then it would get assigned to one of the writers. The writer called the gentleman for an interview, did an interview, and then the story appeared. And it appeared, we didn't change anything, you know, we didn't need to in this case. Oftentimes, you know, the saying, you can't make some stuff up, you know, it was just so either well thought out or true that, you know, sometimes the story wrote itself from the mouth of the person who was telling the story. So that's just one example of a wacky story that I can't say is not true, you know.
Well, obviously, you know, we're big skeptics and like to see lots of evidence. Now, but at some point, the Weekly World News started putting a disclaimer in the front saying they were entertainment publication.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? Did something happen that made that become part of it? Or,
you know, I think I'm a lawyer now. I wasn't then. And we used to have, as you walked in from the front, and the home offices, and they're still there, as I believe it, as I understand it, are in Boca. When you walked in, there was human resources on the left and a couple of other administrative offices, and then there was this long corridor of lawyers whose job it was to read every single page that we and every other magazine put out. And so while I don't have the inside scoop as to why that happened, I would probably tell you that they had something to do with it. You know, but there in the time that I was there, nothing happened that was of any kind of importance that makes me remember why they would have done that. So I can only assume, you know, maybe somebody sued them and they put that disclaimer there. But as a lawyer, it sounds like a legal disclaimer to me. But I don't have the inside skinny on that. I'm sorry.
So you never had any lawsuits that you were aware
many.
Of?
Many. Sure. Tons of lawsuits. Tons, but those lawsuits, for instance, the one I can think of one that was an honest mistake. A lady's photo was used, and we didn't have permission to use her photo. So she sued. And the context with which she was portrayed wasn't, in her opinion, wasn't true. So, you know, I think she sued us for libel. Other folks, you know, would sue for similar things, as I recall. That's the only one that really stands out in my mind. I know the Inquirer and all the other rags, they were getting sued all the time. For us, it was a little different, you know. I mean, gray aliens don't necessarily bring suit.
Yeah.
On Earth, anyway, maybe in another part of the galaxy, but not against the Weekly World News. But I do know that we would get sued from time to time, but, you know, they wouldn't tell us a lot of stuff on things like that. Things would just change. You know, from now on, when you take a photo, it has to be done that when you use a photo, it would have to be done this way. I can remember that stemming from some kind of lawsuit, as I recall. New guidelines on using photos and new guidelines on the way we would say a source came about something, but we wouldn't get too many specifics unless we were asked about them, you know?
That seems like a very innocuous thing to be sued for all of the things you were publishing.
It does. But imagine if you saw your picture in the magazine and, you know, it wasn't the case. I'm not saying whether it was or not. I couldn't say. But, you know, she got offended and she sued. So it happened.
You know, in the long history of the Weekly World News, there's been several recurring monsters that have been on the covers and big stories right. about them, including, you know, the aliens, Bat Boy. Who created these characters or are they real?
You mentioned Bat Boy, so let me talk about Bat Boy then. I would tell you that Bat Boy was the brainchild of Dick Culpa. And there were pictures of Bat Boy. And some of those pictures, I know for a fact, the body came from one of the production guys who just happened to have the kind of body type that we thought Bat Boy would have.
Pale and winged.
Wow. Totally lanky and, well, you know, the ears and the wings were, I think, were added to Photoshop. But I can't tell you how Dick Culpa would answer this officially, but I will say that, because I knew Dick as well, he was a wonderful guy, and he had a passion for the Weekly World News. He said that Bat Boy came from a real-ish kind of, you know, mutant or something, if you will. I never saw that mutant. I never talked to that mutant on the phone. I never saw a photo of that mutant or whatever you would want to call Bat Boy, freak of nature, what have you. The Bat Boy that was seen image-wise on the Weekly World News, that Bat Boy, we made him, you know. And we had great artists and digital artists on staff. But where Bat Boy came from, the impetus for Bat Boy, I think in part may either be urban myth or something in Dick Culpa's travels that he came across, but then Bat Boy became stylized and became one of the more popular characters in the Weekly World News. But he wasn't an early character, as I recall. I mean, I think Bat Boy, you know, was kind of towards the either middle or late end of the Weekly World News run. You know, I think he was there a few years before I got there. So speaking specifically about Bat Boy, largely the brainchild of Dick Culpa, but there is some level of truth to what made him create Bat Boy. I don't know if I don't think I could get any more clearer on that. I know it's not clear. But as I understand it, there's some truth to Bat Boy. I can't tell you what that truth is. I don't know. Dick Culpa would be the guy to tell you about specifically about Bat Boy. Now, the stories that I reported on, and when I say reported on, I was not a reporter. I would uncover leads for the Weekly World News. That was one of my jobs. And so those leads that I uncovered with respect to Bat Boy were totally fabricated. Some of the leads I would come up with based on some kind of source, and some of the leads I would just watch the news. And if I saw an interesting headline, I would take out one of the names and put in either vampire, mutant, you know, freak, or, you know, alien. And, you know, one of them would fit better than the other. So some stories were based on truth, and some stories were just, you know, creativity gone amok, if you will.
He's got kind of an elaborate backstory.
Bat Boy?
Yeah, Bat Boy. He's got like this human Dr. Ron Dillon who manages him or watches after him or cares or studies him or whatever. And he's spotted all over the place. He's
all over the place. Yeah.
Sometimes he's riding on top of the subways. He's living in tunnels. I think he's backed political candidates.
He has. Yes. He also worked with special ops in the Iraq War, as I recall.
There you go.
He was helping fight against insurgents, as I believe that I uncovered, so to speak, the few I uncovered. He helped eradicate some vampire nests as well in the United States, because there were ongoing vampire wars while I was there. I don't know if those wars are still ongoing or not.
We'll dispatch a reporter.
So was he in trouble for I guess he is more of a regular bat, though, not a vampire bat, right? So
Bat Boy?
Yeah.
It's so funny when you brought that backstory up about his keeper and what have you. I hadn't thought about that in years, and I do recall something like that now. But I think the only thing I can remember about Bat Boy was just all the different exploits that he would go through. Something about Bat Boy clicked with the public, you know. They liked Bat Boy. And as I think about it now, I think a Broadway show, or not Broadway, excuse me, but in London, there's in the equivalent of Broadway, and they had a run of some kind of Bat Boy the Musical. And Bat Boy the Musical has been in the United States as well, I believe. There was a comic as well. So, you know, something about Bat Boy kind of is intriguing to folks from, I can only assume, from an entertainment perspective. But also something else about Bat Boy did resonate with folks. And, it resonated with Dick Culpa, and he got it from somewhere, so... There's something about Bat Boy that folks liked, and so I'm trying to think a little more, and I can't, to be quite honest with you.
Well, you had a character named Matthew Damon, seeker of obscure supernaturals. he was, I guess he had a lot of encounters with Bat Boy. Who was Matthew Damon? Is that
some of those reporters were fictional reporters. I believe that reporter, as well as Blake, when we spoke, Ed Anger, remember you mentioned Ed Anger when we spoke. Ed Anger was also a fictional reporter. He wasn't actually a real person. I forget the name.
He's more than a real person. He's
he's an angry real person. But no, it was just someone who one of the writers, I think it was one person who did Ed Anger, but it may have been more than one. You were assigned the story leads. And if it was a story based on truth, then you called and you did some kind of investigative journalism. If it was an entertainment story, you made it up, and then your editor took out his red ink pen and crossed this out, crossed that out, and then you'd submit it to the attorneys, and they would cross this out, cross that out, and then you'd get the final version. Yeah, for the fictionalized versions. For the others, a lot of times they were largely untouched because they really did come from a source. You can go with those. So,
I've never heard of a publication that relied so much on its lawyers.
But think about it. The Weekly World News was under the umbrella of American Media Incorporated. American Media Incorporated is the home of the Inquirer. Is the home of, and so the paparazzi. Who pays their bills? You know, the Star, the Inquirer, and then now all the In Touch and all the others. But if you ever read those stories, it doesn't say so and so said that they saw so and so, Madonna do this or whomever. It says a source, and so you have to be very careful when you're. There's more leeway when you have a source. You don't necessarily have to. Divulge the name of that source. But nonetheless, because of the nature of whispers and innuendos and gossip inherent in the tabloid industry, you have to have lawyers who are saying, okay, we can say this, we can't say this, you can say this, don't say this. So that's what their job was. So, you know, at first when I got there, I was like, my God, what do they need lawyers for? And then when you work there for a little while, you realize, oh, yeah, they definitely need lawyers. They were always getting sued, you know. And a lot of let's just talk about celebrities, one.
Speaking about the paparazzi, did Matt Damon, the actor, ever complain about this Matthew Damon, this alter ego?
Not that I know of. What's the alter ego's name again? I don't even, to be
Matthew
honest
Damon.
With you, I don't,
yeah, Matthew I don't Damon.
I don't remember his name so much. Forgive me. Yeah,
it's Matthew Damon, Seeker of Obscure Supernaturals. Or Matthew Damon, SOS.
Forgive me. I guess you would think that I would remember that guy. I don't remember that one.
Most people just remember Bat Boy and the Alien. That's the two covers that come to mind, I think.
I think.
Shaking
I think
hands
so.
With Bill Clinton. Well, did any other real life?
I got that T-shirt, by the way. You want to hear a great story about that, by the way?
Sure.
That alien's name was, I believe it was something like Plog or something like that, okay? and whomever, now here's something weird. Whoever that alien backed won, by the way. Okay. Weird. It is what it is. You can go check. Whoever that alien backed wound up winning. Now, there was a story. He was some kind of ambassador from one of the alien worlds that apparently we, you know, are very in tune and in touch with. And he had an affair with Hillary Clinton, okay? And apparently Bill Clinton and this alien got into a fist fight. And, you know, on the cover of one of the magazines, you will see Bill, you know, with a black eye. Obviously, we would have the magazines a week or two in advance, right? And so I had the magazine where Hillary was on the cover with the alien. So I knew she was going to be on The Tonight Show. I sent a copy to The Tonight Show saying, you know, I just thought it was fun. So, turns out, Jay Leno, he brings it up. He goes, look, I've got to ask you about this because everybody's talking about it. And he pulls out the Weekly World News on TV, and he says, you know, can you comment to this? And she looks at it, and she laughs. And she said, you know, I took him to one steak dinner, and they make all this fuss. And it was funny. And it was really funny, and Jay Leno was kind enough to sign a copy and send it back to me, which I have framed. But you know, I'll say no more on that. Either she was being facetious and she was going with it, or she took him to a state dinner, and I don't know if something happened. I mean, obviously that was, you know, obviously that was probably an entertainment wise story. But that's one of my favorite stories, you know, because on TV she said, I took him to one state dinner. So I just thought that was really fun.
That's a great story.
Interestingly, though, I sent her office that signed copy by Jay Leno. I wanted it signed by both. It got returned without a signature. I don't know why. That would have been great, though, wouldn't it?
Well, Bill doesn't like being reminded, so.
I never thought about that. That must be it.
Did you ever get complaints from any other real life people? I mean, obviously Hillary didn't complain. She willed it.
No, not to us anyway. Yeah. Oh. Complaints from any real life people? Well, that lady I told you about who didn't agree with her photo.
Oh yeah.
Kind of thing would happen from time to time. But famous folks, you know, the Weekly World News didn't use famous folks, you know, in that regard. I can't remember stories involving famous.
No, it was
individual.
People who were so famous are in the public domain, basically, right?
Yeah. I not that I can recall. No, all the stories were of, you know, just urban myth kind of thing, or aliens, or angels, and something of that nature. Now, I'm sorry, they did use politicians quite a bit. Bush was always in there. Bin Laden was always in there. Saddam Hussein, Clinton. Hillary, obviously, and no, not that I can recall, we never got any flack from, you know, the political side of famous folks. But I think, you know, that that would have been the least of their worries. You know, no one really would have put stock into that kind of thing. I would think, but, you know, that's just me.
So do you have any, are there any favorite or especially outlandish or memorable storylines involving lake monsters or Bigfoot that were covered?
Oh, sure. There were tons. One of my favorite is I actually have the mug because there were some great little things that like T-shirts or what have you that I would keep just as mementos. And one of them is, you know, when they actually found photos, real photos of the Loch Ness Monster. I think we were one of the first to uncover real photos of the Loch Ness Monster. So that one stood on my mind just because there was so much response to that. I mean, people were calling quite a bit for those photos. They weren't real photos.
But just to be clear, I mean, you had people who believed they were real photos and contacted you wanting to see them.
Absolutely. 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 They looked good. You know, they weren't real photos.
Too good.
Too good to be true. Bigfoot. Bigfoot prostitutes was a popular story, as I recall, that were being frequented by politicians. Yeah, Bigfoot prostitutes. That's just one that sticks out in my mind. I'm sorry. I don't mean to, you know, I'm not, you know. Many stories about people encountering Bigfoot, where Bigfoot was living, people domesticating Bigfoots, you know, things of that nature. It was a popular subject. Bigfoot was in the magazine at least, you know, 4 or 5 times a month, I would think, you know. You know, when I was coming up with leads, I always used Bigfoot. You know, Bigfoot aliens, Bigfoot, you kind of vampires, you kind of can't go wrong, you know, with those kinds of stories. Of them were reported on as true, and most of them were made up.
I was just going to ask, why do you think that Bigfoot was so popular? Was it just because you were writing good stories, or just that Bigfoot is inherently interesting?
No, I think Bigfoot, I mean, who hasn't seen the Leonard Nimoy In Search of Bigfoot, you know? Remember that one, In Search of, show that... Mm-hmm. I was intrigued as a child. I was always intrigued by Bigfoot. I think Bigfoot is one of those urban myths that people would like to believe in, you know, or at least it's fun to listen to. And I think we played off of that, you know. Bigfoot was definitely one of the more popular ones. Bat Boy was one of the more popular ones. And I enjoyed talking to folks on the phone who said that, you know, they were a lover of Bigfoot or that they had seen Bigfoot. I would take down their story as best I could and pass it on. But there were some folks really, either they're very good liars or they absolutely believe that they saw or encountered a Bigfoot. I mean, it's one of those stories that just has play in it and continues to. I mean, since my time at the Weekly World News, I've seen other Bigfoot stories in other places other than the Weekly World News. So, you know, Bigfoot is one of those stories, as is the Loch Ness Monster, right, that some people claim to be true. I have come across, at my time at the Weekly World News, you know, we also would not only would we talk to folks who said they saw it, but we would talk to folks who were trying to debunk these things. And so I'd seen plenty of evidence. Like, for instance, I think everyone by this point has seen the evidence of, you know, those Bigfoot footprints and the individuals who used to run through the woods with these big feet on, you know, leaving Bigfoot imprints all over the place. Another one would be crop circles. There is the side of the of this story that says that crop circles are absolutely real. And they will give you compelling evidence as to why crop circles are some kind of evidence of extraterrestrial visitation on Earth. And there are other individuals who, and I've seen videos of how they make these crop circles. And so then I can see how it is fake. And by the same token, however, there's a part of me, even me, and I'm as skeptical as the next guy, if not more so, who kind of still wonders, you know, and I said to myself, but what if I still watch the thing, you know, another compelling one that we had done a few stories on would be the Chariot of the Gods, that that we are descendant of some kind of alien intervention way back when. There are some compelling finds that would make one have to ask. Ancient batteries, for instance, when you're up in the sky and you look down on, you know what I'm talking about,
the plains of Nazca.
Exactly, those kinds of things. I mean, I'm hard pressed to see how an ancient people could have done something like that.
I will send you a book.
But by the same token, I don't believe it. You know, I'd like to.
Oh, now, it's fun to wonder. Yeah, yeah.
The Sumerians, apparently, if you now, no one really talks about the Sumerians, and I didn't really have a class on Sumerian culture in college, and I was a philosophy undergrad major, so we went into some heady stuff. No one ever talked about the Sumerians, but because of my time at the Weekly World News and because of other individuals or things I've come across, apparently in the Sumerian religion and culture, there are references quite abundant to alien forefathers. I don't know how that would be the case, and I don't know. That sounds quite compelling to me, you know, that they would just come up with that, these ancient, in some ways, ignorant people, and when I say ignorant, I don't mean that they were stupid, but of course I just mean they didn't know what we know, to come up with alien forefathers. Native American cultures, you know, believed that that there were sky people.
But wait, and, how do you know the Sumerians weren't running their own version of the Weekly World News?
I'm like stone tablets, right? Like Fred Flintstone, like I love it. I you're right. You know, they might very well could have been. There could have been a guy just like me who was just.
That's right. It's like, we're making one up. We're doing a real news story. Just make one up. Okay. We're from outer space, guys.
It worked for the Weekly World News. I don't see why it wouldn't have worked for them as well.
That's right.
They showed Moses meeting aliens or something.
That's a great story, you see. You could have. They probably would have picked that one up, you know.
Let me ask this question. When you look at the success of online satirical papers like The Onion, do you think Weekly World News was ahead of its time?
Wow, ahead of its time?
I mean, if it was selling a million copies a week, maybe it wasn't ahead of its time.
No, at a million copies a week, it was very successful. And it lasted a long, long time. That paper made some money. Ahead of its time, or was it just satisfying an appetite that was out there for that kind of stuff that I would tell you still exists? You know, The Onion's a lot of fun, though. I enjoy The Onion. I think that they're a little bit like Weekly News, and I think they're a lot like themselves. I think that, Dick Culpa had a lot to do with creating a name brand that was successful. You know, he knew publishing, he knew satire, and you know, he married the two, and well, he and of course I forget the gentleman's name, the guy who owns the American Media Incorporated, between them and whoever else was working with them at the time, they created a paper that worked ahead of its time. I don't know if I can answer that. It was fun. A lot of people loved the paper. But I don't know if it was ahead of its time. I don't want to give it, because by the same token, we were just entertainment, you know, and, you know, when it kind of, after a while, I was there for a little less than 3 years, I think. It was a lot of fun. The thing I loved most about it was, it was very creative, you know, and I was on the newsroom floor, and it's the place is full of buzz, and news is on, and they had TVs and intermittent columns. There was always a TV running some different news channel, and it was just exciting, and people were hustling and bustling, and you saw the newspaper, all the newspapers, you know, weeks before, well, a week or so before they came out, and you'd see important people, you know, Sylvester Stallone was apparently friends, and, you know, I saw him walk through once, and, you know, and some weird stuff happened there, too, so it was a really fun place, and I think I spoke to many folks who would call up and just want to come in to the Weekly World News for a tour. And I loved doing that, too. I just loved doing that. And I was really good at it, too. Just for nothing, for no other reason. And the folks just loved being there. So I think they were fans, you know, the real fans of the magazines. Like anyone would be a fan of some kind of entertainment. I'm a huge Trekkie, you know. And so whenever I've gotten a chance to meet, you know, some of those celebrities, you know, I'm kind of starstruck by it. And so I've met individuals who came to visit the Weekly World News, who thought that they were the luckiest people on earth for being allowed to come visit, you know, the hallowed halls of the Weekly World News.
So what happens to the Weekly World News in the end?
I think they no longer had 1 million readers a week. By the time I left, if they broke 100,000, it was a good week. And around the middle of my stay is when you started hearing the rumors. And those were tough. From the perspective of just working for American Media Incorporated, while it was a lot of fun, it was tough sometimes because there would be these, we'd call them, the one I remember is Black Thursday, and that's just when, you know, you'd come in and you'd find out that 40 people lost their job. So I'm trying to remember his name. I can't remember the CEO's name, but, you know, they would make those kinds of drastic cuts sometimes, and it was ugly, and they would just do it, and they were known for doing that. And as I understand it, that happened one day at the Weekly World News. But this was when the Weekly World News was in New York is when it happened. The Star moved from Boca, from Florida to New York. If you remember when the Star used to be just regular newsprint and then it went to being very glossy, that's when they moved from Florida to New York. Likewise, the Weekly World News went to that same office, and they just never were able to bring their numbers back up. So, you know, I guess readers stopped believing it, or it just it wasn't the phenomenon that it once was. And, you know, numbers, in my opinion, were the axe that fell on the Weekly World News. They just didn't have good numbers anymore. And it was probably too expensive to, you know, to keep it up. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, where is Bat Boy now? I mean, since is his saga continuing, or what's he up to?
You know, he's bad about keeping up with folks. You know, he said he'd write, and I haven't gotten a Christmas card from him or anything like that. But there was a book that was published fairly recently and had Bat Boy on the cover, and it chronicled, you know, a lot of his stories. I think Bat Boy the Musical may still be out there in some form, but let me go back. I think the last time I actually saw Bat Boy was IDW is an independent comic book, and they did a miniseries, and this was just a few months ago. And Bat Boy was one of the featured, you know, monsters, so to speak. I think they took like all the favorites from Weekly World News and they, you know, satirized them. And there was a comic series as well. But unless they're doing some more Bat Boy stories in the Weekly World News, I think he may be on hiatus, you know, doing his things, and no one is keeping tabs on him or reporting on him right now.
Question we ask all of our guests, or try to anyway, what's your personal favorite monster?
Oh, zombies. I love zombies. I love a good zombie story. I came up with and uncovered a few very juicy zombie stories for the Weekly World News. There are folks who will tell you zombies are real. I don't believe they're real. I think they're just something that sprouted out of the mind of George Romero and others like him. From a horror perspective, I love zombies. I love The Walking Dead. I'm looking forward to its series premiere on Halloween night.
Woo. That's in Georgia, right?
They're filming it in Georgia, and it takes place in Atlanta and right outside. And I had a buddy who was a stuntman who worked on it, and he was real tight-lipped about it. But it looks absolutely phenomenal. But that's my favorite kind of monster. Vampires are probably a close second. They were always quite popular at the Weekly World News, vampires. When I was there, I reported on, I mentioned the Vampire Wars. And apparently, President Bush really had it out for them, and he had some very secret government organizations doing their best to eradicate the vampire menace in the United States. I don't know how successful they were when I left.
You probably thought they were Muslim.
I'm sure it was some of his best work.
Potentially. But Bigfoot was a lot of fun. I enjoyed Bigfoot, and Elvis was ever present. He's not a monster, I know. But
he became one.
He, in a way, isn't that the truth? In a way, he kind of did become one, because there were always sightings of. I think the last time I saw a story on Elvis was he was eating peanut butter and bacon sandwiches in Hawaii and surfing. You know,
he's still alive. Yeah.
What was that?
He's still alive.
He's still alive, yeah. There are people who will vehemently, you know, tell you that he is still alive. But,
because his middle name is misspelt on his tomb.
Is it really?
That's why.
You would think I would have known that, right?
He maintains his youth by making love to Bigfoot whores.
Another very good story.
A lot of people don't know that.
You got me by surprise on that one too, and it takes a lot to surprise me. That's a pretty good story. I like it. My favorite one that I uncovered that is, if you go on the Weekly World News site, you can buy postcards. It's a greeting card, rather. And it became a greeting card. Was one of the aliens from Roswell? Well, it's actually two stories. An old alien, after Roswell, he was working for the U.S. government, and then he retired, and he tried to collect Social Security benefits, and they refused him. And that was one story. And then the other was the U.S. gave reparations to the alien families of those that were mutilated and experimented on at Roswell.
Nice.
Both of those leads were my exclusive.
Awesome.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Impressive.
Thank you. I dug deep on those, let me tell you. I deep throat and all those kinds of folks, so it was those were tough. I was a little scared when those came to light, but it worked out.
Follow the alien money. Wow. Well, Ty, thank you so much for spending an hour with us today. I appreciate it.
Oh, it was a pleasure. And I hope that you and your readers will also visit me online with my sci-fi cartoons. I'm a science fiction cartoonist, and it's the lighter side of sci-fi. I'm horrible marketer. Forgive me. No, but I think, if people like that kind of stuff, they'll like, they like sci-fi. They probably like sci-fi.
We'll link to it in the show notes.
I appreciate it. And I had such a wonderful time with you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good, thanks.
All right.
Monster Talk.
Today on Monster Talk, we were talking to Ty Bordoni, formerly of the Weekly World News, about tabloid newspapers and the Chronicles of Batboy. Monster Talk is hosted by Blake Smith, Ben Radford, managing editor of Skeptical Inquirer, and Dr. Karen Stolzno, blogger, skeptic, and paranormal researcher. Want to comment on the show? Come visit the Skeptic Forum at skepticforum.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Links to that info is on our website at monstertalk.org. Monster Talk is produced with the help of Skeptic Magazine. Just a reminder, it's almost Halloween, and Skeptical Inquirer has out a special Monster Edition, which includes articles by Joe Nickel, Ben Radford, myself, and many other skeptics whose names you may recognize. Theme music for Monster Talk is by Pete Stealing Monkeys. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the Skeptic Society or Skeptic Magazine. Thanks for listening.
To stay abreast of the latest from Skeptic Magazine and the Skeptic Society? Want cutting-edge skeptical articles delivered straight to your inbox every week? Then subscribe to eSkeptic, the free electronic newsletter of the Skeptic Society. Visit skeptic.com to sign up.
Just looking at the keywords that people have used to get to my website, and one of the phrases is face.